Thanks for checking out the Abnormal Japan podcast. We're based in Tokyo, Japan from Houston, Texas. If you're curious what it's like living here, or you just want to tap in for abnormal topics from time to time, stay tuned and follow us on your favorite listening platform. Hey everyone, I'm your host Bree. Last episode we talked about romance norms and how amatonormativity affects intimacy amongst relationships. So check that out if you missed it, and if you want to learn more about that topic from our perspective, check it out. And if it's your first time listening to our podcast, welcome. We cover various topics such as travel, life in Japan, true crime, LGBT+, and more. So stick around if you enjoy those topics. And as always, I'm here with my co-host.
Yo, what's up? So I might sound a little bit different. Spring is in the air. I saw a sakura blossom blooming. It's a bit early, and I got like hella plant allergies, hella dust allergies. So if I sound a little bit different, I apologize. Just want to let that out there. That's my weird intro for today.
That hay fever. All for this real. Pollen is everywhere. And everyone has allergies right now. It's wild.
Yeah, and it's not even like the full-on pollen season yet. I'm scared.
All right, so most of you know we're new to the podcast scene, so with that comes more understanding of how we run one and what works best for us. So this season we tried out two new segments in the episodes, like the listener questions and the closer conversations. We really enjoy those, but we feel like since those can sometimes be irrelevant to the main topic, we're going to go forward with answering y'all's questions and discussing what we've been up to, what's going on in Japan at that moment, and anything else that comes up with a bonus episode instead. I know, it's a small change, but I hope y'all like it. And thanks for sticking with us as we try new things with the podcast. And if you ever have suggestions, we'd love to consider those since we do this for you, the listener, as well. So just send those in and we'll do it.
Yeah, and this way y'all get a little bit more content out of us too. You know, you get the little bonus episodes, you get a little insight into what's going on in our lives, and you know, we get to directly talk to y'all. And if you're not about that, you'll still get the episodes about the content, you know, you'll still get the topic episodes and all that, but we like to share, so we get, y'all get a little bit extra.
Yeah, it's mainly just so that it's more chill and that we don't have to, I guess, rush the topic to fit everything in. But yeah, so after this episode, check out the bonus episode after this.
Yeah, and that way we can just get into today's topic.
Yes, let's get into it. Okay, right. So in honor of Black History Month, we wanted to share what we learned about Yasuke, the African samurai. As always, we enjoy finding topics that have intersections with Japan and that aren't as common topics to discuss.
Right.
And we'll be covering who he was, what led him to Japan, where he resided, when in Japan's history did he rise to prevalence, why his legend is so captivating, and how his life was like, with a bonus of what's to come with film and series adaptations about him.
Yeah, there was so much. Like, there's a lot of up-and-coming stuff, and I'm really excited to share that, but we're about to get into this, like, mini history lesson, you know? Mini.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I've heard some stories about him, mainly only when it came to Japan.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's stories, there's books, you know, so many people have written blogs about him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I want to learn more. So let's make an episode about it.
Yeah. Apparently the legend is not like that uncommon. And even like recently, I think a couple years ago, Lupe Fiasco was out here doing like sword kata and people were clowning him, but I'm like, I mean, there was a black samurai though.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so let's get into who Yasuke was and what led him to Japan. You want to take it off, Ashish?
Yeah, so there's a lot of mystery, you know, because things in the past, we didn't have Twitter. There was no like timeline recollections, no moments, no Insta story highlights, right? So there's a lot of mystery. So according to one source, Yasuke was a Makua warrior from Mozambique, also known as Kilua, which is a prior name to Mozambique. So Yasuke was a Makua warrior from the Mozambique area who served the Jesuits in 1579 or 16th century Japan.
Wow, that's like forever.
That's a while ago, yeah.
It's a while, yeah.
But yeah, he traveled as an aide to the Italian Jesuit priest. I'm going to try to say his name right. Alessandro Valignano.
Okay, yeah.
I think I got that. So he traveled with Mr. Valignano. I'm going to say Alessandro. This will be easier.
Yeah.
He traveled with Mr. Alessandro and his missionary throughout Asia. And apparently, Yasuke at the time was called Yasufe or Yasufe. Not sure how to pronounce that either because Yasuke is Japanese. I know how to do that one. But Yasufe at the time was later given the name Yasuke. So the name he's currently known by. Mm-hmm. He was given that name when he took service for the Japanese warlord Oda Nobunaga. And he became the first foreign-born samurai in feudal Japan.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a title right there.
Yeah, that's a lot to dissect there. But apparently he had like Yasufe, Yasuke. He went through like identity changes. He was a traveler. Then he became a samurai. This man lived a life.
Yeah, and I'm sure as cool as it sounds, there's a lot of, you know, history, especially being a black man at that time. So I wanted to know, okay, so how was his travel experience? Because I did hear a lot that he was enslaved and then that's how he got into Japan. But as I read some different perspectives, there was varying speculation. So let's read about his origins.
Yeah, so again, one source suspects that, quote, Yasuke was abducted from his family as a child by Arab or Indian slave traders, and he was trafficked through Arab countries and across the Indian Ocean. He likely worked as a slave and trained as a child soldier who fought in Gujarat and Goa in India before being hired as a valet by the Jesuit missionaries from Portugal, end quote. So that source is kind of implying that he kind of traveled through the Arab and Indian Desi world and gained his skills through his travels as an enslaved person.
Yes, and like as a child soldier.
Right. And at the time, apparently Goa was a prime trading, missionary, and military center for the Portuguese and one of the largest centers of the African slave trade. This to me is not only like super sad, but also like kind of wild, because when you think of colonialism in the India, Pakistan, Bangladesh area, you think of England, but no, the Portuguese were there first, and they were there for a while until the English kind of eventually kicked them out.
Yes.
So yeah, this is that's speculated that that's where Alessandro Valignano made Yasuke his bodyguard.
Okay.
So that's kind of the speculation of the slave trade narrative.
I do hear that narrative often. And so I found another source that doesn't exactly agree with the slave narrative, that Italian Jesuit wouldn't have picked a random enslaved person to work for him, because they believe that Yasuke had to be highly skilled or recommended in order to work for Alessandro from the jump. Therefore, he didn't pick up military training in India, but rather was already skilled before.
Okay.
So Alessandro was known as... He was very popular in Asia for doing what he was doing, you know, spreading Christianity and all that stuff.
Right.
So they were like, nah, he wouldn't just pick anybody.
So he was like a big name priest. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. If he's not just like anybody, he wouldn't just get anybody.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And the source also mentioned that Oda Nobunaga was one of the most powerful and influential lords in the history of feudal Japan, and very instrumental in unifying the country during the Sengoku period, which is true. He wasn't the type of person known to have considered Yasuke if he was just a slave. So people are also saying, well, he also, they were saying he also wouldn't just be okay with Yasuke if that was the case.
That makes sense. If you're like a samurai warlord, then I guess you have like a certain rank, you know?
Yeah. And they believe that Yasuke was a skilled warrior when he left Africa or was born in a warrior culture, which enabled him to survive this daunting journey through India and allowed him to enter seamlessly into Japanese court as a skilled warrior.
That makes sense. And I can see how both narratives have like equal sort of like potentials of being true.
I think it's important with history that's so far back and with history that doesn't have that much written history or just like these short moments in history that we consider all stories and all perspectives, especially from all races as well, because I do know with literature, it's usually from certain perspectives, from certain racial groups. And I think it's important to consider all of them because we don't know. In 2020, we don't actually know.
Right. There tends to be a certain level of erasure or, you know, stuff like that with history. You know, the victors write history or whatever. So,
exactly. History is erased or reconstructed or just hidden. So we don't know, but I think it's interesting. And I'm glad that we got multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about when he rose to prevalence in Japan and where he resided and how Japanese people felt about him.
Right. So again, a source we have says the first record of Yasuke in Japan describes a 1581 visit to Kyoto. That was the country's capital at the time, right? So en route, the Jesuits missionary passed the port city of Sakai, where huge crowds gathered for a glimpse of Yasuke. And apparently buildings just collapsed under the weight of people trying to like climb all over them and see everybody.
Dang.
I know, right?
It's like when I walk into the mall, everyone's like, oh my God, the foreigner.
Oh my God.
But I'm sure like this was like times 10,000.
Oh my God. Yeah. Especially if they've never seen an African person before.
Yeah.
Wild.
Or they've just heard rumors.
Right. So apparently the procession was severely disrupted. And in order to escape, he had to ride a horse through the crowd. So he was like on a horse trying to like get through the people.
Yeah, I've seen what is it, like old Japanese art on scrolls and what are the screens?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've seen one, and I don't know if this was Yasuke, because a lot of the imagery is like, some of it is adaptations and some of it is actually painted from back then. But there is one where he was like on a horse. So this could be true.
There could be some validity to there.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he was not only the first African person Japanese people in the area had seen, but by their measures, he was a, quote, giant. Mm. So 188 centimeters, which is about 6'1", 6'2".
Mm.
Apparently he's good looking, intelligent, entertaining, and with the strength of 10 men. And because Buddha at the time was often portrayed with black skin, many saw him as a divine visitor. You know, because Buddha had a little bit of melanin. You know, as much as people want to whitewash the man, he was a brown person. That's all I got to say about that.
Yes, he was definitely brown. And a lot of people did portray Buddha as black in history. So I could see them thinking, dang, like, you know, if they're all like light and bright.
Right.
They see this man who's dark skinned and he's, you know, he's super tall. I would see like, dang, is he something special?
Right. Especially if you stick out that much. You got people like tearing down buildings with the sheer weight.
And even now, like 6'1 is still pretty tall in Japan.
Facts.
Apparently back then, like a lot of Japanese people were 5'1". That was like the average. I think it's gotten taller now.
Since then, probably.
Yeah. But that's still pretty tall now. So I can't imagine back then.
Dang. So apparently that was in Sakai, right?
Yeah.
This happened again in Kyoto. So word spread. So like thousands of people pulled up to see him get to Kyoto. And he had to take refuge in the Jesuit church. But there was a mob that was like busting down the doors trying to see him. And there were spectators like lining up and trampling each other, sometimes crushing each other to death. So,
dang.
Yeah. Now, Oda Nobunaga, who is the samurai general we were talking about earlier, he was holding court in the Honnoji temple nearby.
Mm.
He was like, what is going on? What? This is a ruckus.
Yes, he's like, causing this ruckus? He's like, clearly there's something going on.
Right. And so when he heard about Yasuke, he was like, look, this is my area. You know, this is my city. I need to see you. Who are you coming to my town creating a ruckus?
Mm-hmm.
So Oda Nobunaga, he was one of the three major generals in the Warring States period. I think he said it was Sengoku, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Thank you. So this was before all of Japan was united. Now, when he was introduced to the Portuguese, when Oda Nobunaga was introduced to the Portuguese and took notice of Yasuke, he saw the value in his skills. And this is a quote. Within a year, Yasuke had joined the upper echelons of Japan's warrior class, the samurai. Before long, he was speaking Japanese fluently and riding alongside Nobunaga in battle.
End wow. quote. This is like an awesome story as a foreigner. Like, you just come here, and of course I'm sure he went through stuff, but you just get this, I guess, high rank
Right.
And you're just like, oh, I can speak Japanese. And apparently he like already knew other languages.
Which makes sense.
So, I mean, if you're a polyglot, you naturally pick up other languages. But wow, that's actually pretty cool. And I'm just coming from the perspective of just seeing the ranking.
Right.
And I think it's interesting that Nobunaga like really saw something in him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he still wanted him to work for him. So
it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of people back then were servants of some kind.
Yeah. And also life was much harder. People mm-hmm. like had to be physically strong to, you know, literally survive sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he saw his strength as an attribute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he received a whole ass stipend, a residence in Azuchi Castle. Hope mm-hmm. I'm saying that right. In the northeast of Kyoto, he received servants to work for him and a katana. So the katana is like, it's a sword, basically, symbol of a samurai mm-hmm. warrior. So basically, Yasuke was the first documented non-Japanese African samurai.
Yeah, like it was official.
He got his papers. He got his work visa. He got his title. He got his sponsorship, all that.
Yes, he got his job.
Exactly. Lined
everything.
Up.
I wonder how much he got paid. I wonder if it was like a one-time payment. Like I heard stories that, you know, Nobunaga's son gave him money and like there mm-hmm. was a party and he got stipend and pay. So I wonder if he was like in that bag back then.
I hope so.
Who knows?
From the sounds of it, he was on that bankroll. So, you know, you never know.
All right. So Yasuke accompanied Nobunaga in conquering territories north of Mount Fuji.
Hmm.
And was part of his large army in the summer of June 1582. They took rest in the same temple that they had met 15 months earlier in Hanoji. So that's pretty cool. You know, it kind of like circled back.
Yeah, it's like a year plus later. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And they were attacked by the 13,000 strong army of Akechi Mitsuhide, formerly one of Nobunaga's most trusted generals, who stormed the compound.
Dang, backstabbing.
Yeah, backstabbing BFF. We don't like it.
No.
Nope, that's not cool. Also, his large army that he had mm-hmm. was like, I think just 30 people. So 30 against 13,000.
That's uneven.
Yikes.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. And apparently the temple like went into flames. And so Nobunaga was like, dang, I lost. And he performed seppuku, which is ritual suicide. Where they like sliced their stomach.
Yeah.
And according to the legend, his last order was issued to Yasuke telling him to keep his head from falling into enemy hands. So he's like, you know, make sure my head doesn't fall into an enemy and take it to my son.
Oh, like he was being literal.
Yeah, literal. He's like, take my head and my sword to my son. Because apparently it's a huge honor and a trust that you trust this person to take your
Your remains, essentially.
Yeah, to your family. Because I guess back in the day, it showed like, yeah, I am dead.
Dang.
You know? And then also, it's like remains for someone to possibly bury, you know?
Right.
Because if the temple was burning in flames, he could have completely vanished.
You know what?
You know, into ashes.
I'm going to foreshadow something. In the later upcoming things that we're going to talk about, there is a severed head also involved. Which is kind of weird, but I think that's actually really cool that it like it's part of the legend.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little bit sizzle, you know.
All right, so Yasuke fled to the new head of the clan, so Nobunaga's son and heir, Oda Nobutada. But, you know, lots of things are going on, and he too was forced to take his own life.
Dang.
So, yeah, they were just getting swamped by the enemy. And Yasuke was brought before Akechi, and they ordered him to just be returned to the Jesuits. That was interesting, because, you know, if it's the enemy, like, why didn't they kill him, you know?
Right, like, he's part of the army, right?
Yeah. Either because he was an enemy or he was a foreigner, they decided that since Yasuke was not Japanese, they would let him go and released him to a church in Kyoto. So they're like, just go back with the Jesuits, go do Jesus stuff.
They're like, oh, you don't want the smoke. This is not for you. This is not your issue type of thing, maybe.
Yeah. And then a few days later, Akechi was killed after the uprising.
Dang.
So the enemy was killed. And what happened to Yasuke after his return to the Jesuits is unknown. So after Oda's death, Nobunaga and his son Records of Yasuke became scarcer, and at the end of his written history, it's debated because after Nobunaga's death, mentions of Yasuke stop there.
That is wild. So, like, and this is back in the day, so, like, 15 mm-hmm. months, a year is, like, a good portion of time.
Yes.
He was, like, a whole samurai for, like, a long time,
mm-hmm.
made a big-ass impact on history, and we just don't know what happened.
Yeah. At least written history. I'm sure right. there was okay, yeah. I'm sure there was oral history, and it may have just not been passed down, you know, as time goes on. And also, I mean, if he got his bag, he probably was just like, I'm going to go move on.
Yeah.
And Japan's real chill. If you find like a good spot, you can be secluded.
That's true.
Maybe grow some food.
That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of nature. He could have just been out there chilling. Yeah.
So, why is his legend so captivating? You know, because I found some things pretty cool, especially just the whole being so different in a homogenous country and right. also being liked, because that's not always something that happens,
mm-hmm.
especially knowing the history that Black ancestors had to go through.
Right. And also, know? Like, Japan was very isolation-y, so mm-hmm. as they were opening up, he seems like, to me, the most famous Black person in Japanese history. I could be wrong. Maybe we can do another topic on, like, you know, Black history in Japan or something. But, like, to me, this seems like this might be one of the first instances of, like, oh, this dude came and, like, made an impact.
Yeah. There's definitely other figures in Black culture that have come through Japan.
Okay.
So there's definitely other things, but he has had such an impact.
Right.
So Yasuke was a man who found a way to bring some control in his life in a land that wasn't his own and rose into power off of his own merit. And I think a lot of people can relate and strive for that, especially if you're a foreigner immigrating to Japan.
Facts.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're coming to a new country, especially if it's not your choice, because it wasn't his choice, finding some kind of control, you know, even though it was like a service job and all that stuff, like, what kind of options do you have back then, especially as a Black person, you know?
Yeah.
So his story isn't that well known. And like much of Black history in general, it's being brought into the spotlight, especially, you know, with these Black History Months, you know, stuff like that. But a lot more people are talking about it. You know, there's Twitter, there's blogs, there's YouTube. A lot of people are talking about their own history. And we refuse to let it be forgotten. So Yasuke was a true inspiration, and more people should know about him and his impact in the world that he lived in.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of speculation revolving his story. Most of what we know comes from his time in Japan at around the age of 26 or 27. People aren't sure. I'm sure it was hard to know.
Dang.
So he was young. He's like our age.
He was a peer.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Like, I can't even imagine being a samurai now. That's wild.
Yeah. Then we hear tales of his samurai life under the command of Oda Nobunaga. Then there's no concrete ending to what we can find. So I'm sure people try their best to find out more. And there's like speculations that he became a pirate or he just was farming. I've seen different things and different perspectives, but we really don't know.
Wow.
And the amount of mystery surrounding his short rise to fame and clear impact on Japanese history as the only Black samurai is in its own really cool.
Yeah, facts.
Because I think with this mystery, I know there's a lot of creative people, and we've seen it, you know, you can create little fiction stories about what could have happened, you know. Or you can try to find the puzzle pieces.
Right. There's so much that can be done. Like, you can do research into, like, what could have happened. Mm-hmm. You can do, like, speculative fiction. There's a lot of stuff you can do. So, yeah. And, like, we collaborated on the research for this. So, like, some things you're pulling up, some things I'm pulling up. And, like, it's just so cool. The amount, well, first of all, it wasn't cool the amount of research you had to do. There was quite a bit. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. But just the topic was actually really fascinating to me because I was like, there's not a lot of information, but there's also a lot of information.
Yes. You know what I mean? What I noticed is that, like, there was a lot of divisive information.
That, yeah.
Yes. So, like, there was a lot of people who were like, no, this didn't happen. And then, yes, this happened. And there was a lot of like racism and a lot of stuff, like just subtle racism. And I was like, you know, we have to be careful when we're talking about Black figures in history, especially if you're not Black, because you could have the wrong nuance.
Right.
And it could be seen like, oh, you're just sensitive. But it's like, no, seriously, we got to make sure that we narrate these stories well. And if you don't know something, don't speculate and go off of some like typical racist story.
Right. And that's fair too, because like if I think about, because you know, again, not Black here, but you know, if I think about this story, the main, well, some of the main resources were, you know, from white people. There's like academic research involved, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do, but it's like when I think about, you know, brown culture or Desi culture, like when I hear stories about the partition or like academic stuff like that, it's also usually from, you know, white people, Western people. And I'm like, but see, like that group of people also caused the problem in the first place.
And they teach it back to us.
And so they have a specific lens. And I'm like, I want to hear the stories of the people who are affected by this or the stories of the people from that community. So I get what you're saying. Like, it's, again, people can have their own opinions about it, but I really do agree with you. Like, I feel like we need to be careful with what sources we're highlighting and uplifting, and also who has access to those types of things. We just need to keep those things in mind.
Yeah, I think keep it open and broad and hear all perspectives, because I love hearing from non-Black people as well. Like, it's like, okay, let's see your take, especially if you lived in that area.
Right.
You know, you can also be a legitimate source of like oral history if you lived in an area.
But and I even do research think, too, yeah.
Yeah, and research. And, you know, some people do have more access to education and libraries, so it's really cool. I just think sometimes certain people will think that they are the first of a story. It's like, no. There's a lot of people who have covered stories like these, and they just didn't get the light. So that's what I noticed when researching Yasuke. There's so much, and we're going to get into the upcoming media.
Right.
I'm interested in how that's going to adapt in the future.
Yeah.
Because many Japanese people are aware of Yasuke and his impact on Japanese history.
Right.
And there's even been like a lot of buzz going on with like, oh, is this film going to happen? So, and just different medias that are based off of Yasuke, the African samurai. So let's talk about the upcoming story adaptations with film and show series and the current ones.
Yes. So I didn't put this in the notes, but like you were saying earlier, the legend of Yasuke is actually pretty well known in Japan. Apparently he's been in, or I'm sorry, he's been depicted in, I don't know about that man. I don't think he's been out here recently, but you know, his character has been depicted in some historical dramas. You know how Japan loves their period pieces and their TV shows and all that. Like, his character has been involved in some storylines a couple of times, I believe. I couldn't find sources, and I'm not big on Japanese TV shows, so I'm gonna let y'all do your homework on that one. If you know any, let us know. But there have been academic and entertainment adaptations of Yasuke's story, and some of which we used to research this episode. So here's a little bit of media that was either based on or referenced on the Yasuke legend in general, and we're gonna knock them out in chronological order from what I could find.
All right, I'm ready.
Yes, and also I love this. This is the part I researched in particular. I even did a little bit of, you know, field research with some of the shows. I watched a little bit of them. So Number one.
I saw that.
I know. I couldn't help it. So number one, Yasuke's story was put to fiction. Well, historical fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like simplified. In a children's story called Kurosuke in 1968. Right? Now, this is actually really cool because it's a Japanese language book. Mm-hmm. And it is targeted at children to like sort of share the history of, you know, this awesome samurai who was there in the early 1500s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or late 1500s, I'm sorry. But the book cover has a very questionable illustration.
Yes,
when
I saw that.
When you look at it with the 21st century lens. That was a little bit tough to see because 1968 is also not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, the cover art looked a little bit minstrelly.
It was definitely minstrelly.
Yeah.
Like, just, there's something, and it still happens in, like, animations today in Japan, where if they're depicting a Black character, they'll put, like, light lips you know, light pink lips or red lips. And it's like, y'all. And it's like, it's really
exaggerated.
It's exaggerated. Like, yeah. And it's concerning because it's pushing that racist narrative.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned when I saw the image at first. And then I was like, oh, this is from an actual source.
Mm-hmm.
And the painting, it reminded me of like those old racist Disney cartoons.
Yes.
That's honestly what mm-hmm. it reminded me of. But the book itself, I haven't read. It's apparently a children's book. It's pretty well known, but mm-hmm. you know, it's one of the modern retellings of his story. Now, that was in 1968.
Mm.
So it's been a while, and then insert the anonymous TV shows that I don't know what they are.
Yeah, yeah, insert other things.
Right. But a long while later, we got something that rocked the world. Now, it's not a faithful adaptation, mm. but the inspiration was there from the beginning. I know you've heard of this, Afro Samurai.
Yes.
All right.
Adult Swim, anyone?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is it? Late night cartoon game.
Yes.
So Afro Samurai debuted as a manga in September of 1999.
Nice.
So like a while ago.
Shout out to my younger brother. That was his year.
Oh, what's up? That's what's up.
Yes.
We need to get him over here so he can be a real Afro Samurai.
Yes.
All right. So the story and the character design of Afro, which is the main character, was inspired by the legend of Yasuke and his strength. Mm. The anime was picked up by Studio Gonzo, which was staffed by former Gainax members. These are all animation studio names, so like mm-hmm. people will recognize them. But it took about 3 years to get the animation going.
Dang.
Yeah. And somehow, when they made a trailer, because you know animation will have like trailers for things where they're like, hey, check out our work if you want to fund us, if you want to bankroll this, you know, mm. let's go. The trailer that they had made got into Samuel L. Jackson's hands.
So he was like, I like that.
Yeah, basically. So Sam Jackson and RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan, they worked together on producing the 5-episode Funimation distributed anime. So this was like big leagues.
Mm-hmm. And some of y'all may already know this, but this is still really cool to like know all the details of this anime.
I didn't know this, so I'm super hyped for this. So the dude who wrote the original manga, mm-hmm. right, he was kind of into drawing for mm-hmm. a while, and he would draw like Afro-inspired characters like on tissue boxes or like in his notebooks and stuff. And eventually he came up with the idea, after learning about the Yasuke legend, to write a super fictionalized version of that. Mm-hmm. He got it picked up in his friend's manga company, like an early manga company that they were making.
Dang, that's so cool.
Yeah, and he did a 2-volume run. And then that 2-volume run, he came back to later with like a better art style mm-hmm. or whatever, right? And he was able to do that because of this anime. It got so freaking popular.
Mm.
So RZA produced the soundtrack. He produced, when I was listening to it, he produced all of the tracks except for like 3.
Mm, yeah, you played it back today and mm-hmm. it was real smooth.
Yeah, it goes.
It
still goes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and so that was the soundtrack, right? And then Sam Jackson, he plays both the silent protagonist and his loudmouth friend. And mm-hmm. I was like, dang. So I could hear Samuel Jackson in the friend who's always talking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, that's Sam Jackson. But then later I was looking at the credits and he was credited twice. And I was like, oh, he plays Afro too. So then I was like listening back and I was like, oh, I can kind of hear it. And I was like, dang.
Like the noises.
Yeah. And like, I was like, Samuel L. Jackson is like a real voice actor. Like mm-hmm. he can play himself as a, you know, a person.
Yeah.
And then
like
he can actually play a character. And I was like, dang, I didn't know that.
That's so cool. I'm like, when you were mentioning how he was drawing it
mm-hmm.
on like tissues and stuff like that, that just gives me motivation to like, if I have an idea, just go for it. Cause you mm-hmm. don't know where it can go. And you've seen a lot of this, especially back in 2019 with people just putting out music.
Yeah.
And now they're just like celebrities and stuff. I'm not saying that like celebrity status is like success. I'm just saying like, you never know, your artwork or your music or your book or whatever can really get noticed by a lot of people, and it can get picked up and you can be part of history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this was all out of a love of American culture and hip hop culture from the artist side. Mm. So when he was originally making the manga, he did it as like an homage to like, you know, Black soul culture of like his youth, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that was really, really dope. And I saw, I think I want to say four and a half of the show. I want to finish it up, but apparently, right, that show came out in 2007. Mm-hmm. To mass appeal. So they made a sequel movie called Afro Samurai Resurrection that came out 2 years later.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's a true collaboration. Like, that's true appreciation and not appropriation, because that's how you come together. You come together and you get Black voices and Black people do your music and get the influence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that was genuine collaboration. Yeah. Like, and because the very fact of, like, if Samuel L. Jackson had not found the trailer, we would not have Afro Samurai. Like, that is such a coincidence.
Or we would have, it just wouldn't have maybe blown up as much. We don't know.
It may not have been as good, let's be honest.
Yeah, like, that's just true. All right.
But yeah, a side note that I wanted to add. So that was one samurai anime, right? Mm-hmm. Another samurai anime that has dark-skinned anime characters, but it's, I'm not sure if they are Black characters or not, was mm-hmm. Samurai Champloo. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Samurai Champloo, the art style, the movements of the characters, and the music were heavily inspired by hip-hop music and mm-hmm. breakdancing. So one of the one of the samurais, he has like voluminous hair, you know, think cannon busters, you know, think
everyone's like very curvaceous. I remember as a kid, I'd see the women on there, I'm like, dang, mm-hmm. like they're so smooth and like pretty. It was kind of wild. It had like, it was very like sex appeal type anime.
Right. So that was Afro Samurai Champloo. He kind of had like the Afro style hair, but he was like breakdancing and like busting moves while doing samurai stuff. But the music, I believe, was from Nujabes. Now, if y'all know any lo-fi hip-hop,
yes,
Nujabes was part of the production for Samurai Champloo. So that's not necessarily related to the Yasuke Afro Samurai thing, mm-hmm. but I wanted to give a shout-out because they're in a similar vein. There's another collaboration that I feel like was really powerful. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yeah. This is making me want to go watch all of this again because...
Oh, yes.
Like I said, I saw it as a kid and as a young teen. And yes, I've been watching anime for a long, long time. Probably shouldn't have watched those at that young of age, but it makes me want to go back.
Yeah, for sure. As an adult, I wonder what we missed.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. how we like see it now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So yeah, that was the anime side of things. Another illustrated picture book came out about Yasuke, this time by French writer and illustrator Frederic Marais. I don't know.
Yeah, that one was really cool. It had a very like blue theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose one of the images for the episode post. So if you see it, that's where that came from.
Yeah. Apparently he does like graphic design and illustrations, and he kind of wrote like Urosuke, like a picture book version, mm-mm. but like with striking imagery. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was very bold.
Yeah. And so I also found an effort to fund a docuseries on Yasuke.
Mm.
And this was a collaboration of Deborah Desnoux and Floyd Webb. And we'll link that below. Mm. I haven't been able to find the documentary. I would love to watch it, honestly. But the website was a really good place to start with our research. So if y'all are interested in, you know, deep diving on Yasuke yourselves, we'll leave the link down below. I recommend it very much.
Yeah,
great place to start.
Yeah, the site's a little outdated. I'm not too sure like where they stand now,
mm-hmm.
but it's essentially like a dual team and trying to find different perspectives about Yasuke, which they ended up shouting out someone who had a very interesting article, and it will be linked in the description, about how Yasuke was not a slave.
Yes.
That was really interesting. It is very bold. So if, you know, you get offended easily, don't read it. I still suggest you try it. I just think it was such a 180 perspective from what's out there.
Right.
Like, what's really out there, you know, that everyone knows.
And also the same person that you were just mentioning with the like bold point of view they did an interview with one of the writers of the next source. So the book is called African Samurai by Geoffrey Girard and Thomas Lockley, and that came out in 2017. So Lockley is pretty vocal on the internet and with interviews and regarding the book and Yasuke's story. He did an interview with the website that we mentioned, that I highly recommend that interview and that article. Definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. But the book is really valuable in the research of Yasuke, because a lot of places reference this source. Even we did for a little bit. Like, they just went in.
Yes. I will say a lot of the perspective, because there's a lot of speculation in his book.
Yeah.
Great research. I just think with some of it, I had a very white lens. And yeah. I kind of felt that when I saw some of his writings and stuff like that, and I didn't want to like just think, oh, that's just where it's coming from. But when I heard other Black perspectives speaking about his book and his interviews and stuff, I saw it and I was like, yeah, you're right. And I think it's a great resource, but I wouldn't just go off of that, because it does have a lot of undertones that I'm personally not comfortable with.
That's fair. And another thing I wanted to mention that's not on here, but I just kind of saw it, was a YouTube video mm-hmm. by Home Team History. They do like all type of African history. Me personally, I love learning about like culture and history and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I try to find like, you know, channels that like do that stuff in particular and do it really well. Home Team History for African history is actually really cool, because they do short videos, long videos of the whole continent. Mm. So you'll find something that's interesting for you. They did a video on Yasuke talking about the upcoming thing in April of 2019. The lead actor from Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, was mm-hmm. announced to star in a movie about Yasuke's life. I haven't been able to find any news beyond that, but the Home Team History video was about, you know, what a short recap of what Yasuke did in his life and some ideas for potential ways they can go about it.
Yeah,
so I'll try to link that as well. It was a really cool video, and I'm low-key hype for this movie.
Yes, because y'all, when the news broke about like Boseman you know taking up this role, because he like essentially agreed to it, he's like, yeah, I'll do it, and everyone's like, yes, oh my gosh, like this is perfect fit. I just hope, because it is Hollywood,
right,
we hope it's a good storyline, but I'm excited.
Yeah, and I was really, I don't know if I was like super impressed, but I was really proud of how well Black Panther did. Like, he played that role so well, mm-hmm. and like yeah. he brought it. So I'm curious to see what he can do to another like super iconic character. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Yeah. Also, somewhere in the news, I saw that there was a competing Yasuke movie coming out from another production house. Mm. They didn't have like any star name or any other real news that I could find. But there's the Chadwick Boseman Yasuke for sure. They're mm-hmm. definitely in talks. They're thinking about releasing it. I don't know what stage of production it's in. Then there's like this low-key, you know, similar movie coming out at the same time.
I feel like no one really knows what's going on behind the scenes, and they're just trying to keep it low key. And then when they're all done, we're just going to have like 2 to 3 movies.
That honestly, I'm here for a Yasuke series. Let's go.
If it comes out, we'll do a review.
I know. Oh my God. Yes, please. That would be amazing. I'm super hyped. Cause okay, here's the thing. This is going to be a little bit of a tangent. I freaking love action movies. I love like Kung Fu movies, martial arts movies. Mm. Rurouni Kenshin is a very problematic author series. But yeah. them movies, the live action movies, they go good. So hard. So I'm actually really excited to see what they do with this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back on track. Netflix, you know, mm-hmm. our friends at Netflix.
We're not really friends. They need
they
to
take our money. That's what
they
it is.
They take our money and they give us crumbs.
Well, they may give us a little bit more than crumbs. Apparently, Netflix has also announced a Yasuke title. So we're about to come into a Yasuke renaissance.
All right. I'm yeah. here for it.
Only this time, it's an anime.
Now, all the anime nerds, the blurreds, all of us, we're gonna eat this up.
Oh, yeah. I heard rumors that Flying Lotus will be doing some of the audio stuff for it, which Flying Lotus is super, super like nice music. Just if you like good music, go listen to Flying Lotus. Anyway, it's rumored that Lakeith Stanfield from Get Out and Sorry to Bother You, he's going to be working on the fantasy fictional adaptation. So there's an active link leading to a page on Netflix. You know how sometimes if you look something up, you can click it and it'll take you to Netflix and you can watch it. There's one of those links for the Yasuke title. I set a little reminder so that when it comes out, we can at least do a review of that.
Right. They do that. Cool. So is he going to play like the voiceover or something?
It's not clear.
Or like the production?
It's not clear. And I'm really curious what it's going to be like. Because according to what I've heard, the rumors around on the internet, it's going to be kind of like Afro Samurai was like inspired and then like, you know, in a different direction. This is going to be more about Yasuke as a character, but in like a fantasy action-y
I like that. I think, I think with anime and cartoons in general, I think it's cool to take that fantasy approach. I think with movies, especially if you're trying to make it more of like a serious storyline, I want it to be more accurate. So I'm here for all of it, as long as if it's fantasy, just claim that it's fantasy.
That's fair. And so that's as far as I could find with all the upcoming adaptations. I did want to go back. You remember when I said there was a severed head to be mentioned in this series?
Yeah, I was like waiting for it. I was like, when is this gonna happen?
I wanted to save it for the end. So the severed head comes in episode one of Afro Samurai. So Afro Samurai, I have never seen the series until today. The first episode was kind of amazing. It was like, so how do I explain this? Basically, Afro's dad is the number one samurai in the world. And he's like godlike or whatever. He's got this bandana, right? And if you can get the bandana, you'll be the godlike swordsman.
Okay.
But the only person that can fight the godlike swordsman is the person with the number two headband. So everybody trying to kill the number two headband, and the number two headband has to fight the number one headband.
Okay, so everyone's trying to get it so they can fight.
Right. Gotcha. But the number two headband fights Afro's dad and decapitates him. And so he tosses the head to Afro, and he's like, man, you're never going to live this down. Come fight me when you feel like fighting a god. Wow. And so, like, the poor kid, he actually carries his dad's head around for a little while in a backpack. Decapitated head.
I think I remember that. Like, at first when you were saying it, I was like, I don't remember this, but dang, that must be sad.
Yeah. No, the show is super
and
sad.
He's right. He's like, you're gonna come want to fight me.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, just grow up a little bit. Let that teen rage come in.
I'll be waiting.
Yes.
Because we all know there's, what was it? Teen Gohan, anime teens. You cannot stop them. And then they grow up a little bit and then they're useless again.
Yeah.
And then they get old and then you can't stop them again. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but that's what it is.
The youth and the elders in anime just have just amazing strength.
Like unlimited energy.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Maybe the rest of the time they're just stuck paying bills.
Yeah. And then she's like, I'm finally done.
Yeah, basically. But all I could find on adaptations. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I had a great time researching it, you know what I'm saying?
It was fun. It really was. I learned stuff, and I want to keep learning stuff all year long. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you for doing the research with me, Ashish.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yes, and hope y'all enjoyed this episode. We encourage you to listen to multiple perspectives by doing your own readings and research, so don't let this episode be where you stop learning about him. Always keep learning. So let us know your thoughts on his story. Do you have a different perspective? Any theories that you have or you've heard? And are you excited for the potential Yasuke films? Comment on our episode 29 Instagram post or YouTube comments if you're listening on there at Abnormal Japan.
Yes, please hit us up because I want to talk about these movies and the show that's coming out. Or even if you just want to talk about Afro Samurai, you know, we'll be there.
Yes.
So also, if you want to see the resources we use for the episode, check the links in the description. We will have them there. If you want to learn more, again, we got you. Also, don't forget to follow our Spotify playlist. If you have a favorite topic genre of ours, maybe we can do a new topic of like, ooh, history. I don't know. Something. But we got all these different playlists, you know, so go check it out. And also follow us on the socials to get notified next time we put out a new episode or anything else in general. Instagram is where we're mostly at. But, you know, Twitter, Facebook, we got them all.
Yeah. If you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you'll get it like maybe later that day. But Instagram is where you get it fresh.
Yes. Out the oven.
Mm-hmm. So we appreciate everyone who tuned in, and check out our bonus episode after this where we answer listener questions and discuss what we've been up to and what's been going on in Japan lately, because there's a lot going on.
We got some matcha tea ready for y'all.
Yes. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.